Now, 630 Chad presents The Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the bye-week edition of the Elks This Week. The Elks are off. They don't play again until August the 6th as they play in Vancouver against the BC Lions. That's a week from Saturday night. They'll play the Lions in Vancouver. Second trip to BC this season. Of course, we all remember what happened in the first game, which was back opening night of the season. They will try and be much better. I think it's pretty safe to say they won't get beat by as much on a week from Saturday as they did back on June 11th. It was 59-15, and it was a horrible way to set the table for what has become a 2-5 season right now for the Elks as they hit the break. They are last place in the West. Two wins behind the Saskatchewan Roughriders, two wins behind BC, and two wins behind Calgary. But the Lions and the Stamps all have a couple of games in hand on the Elks. The Riders and Elks have played the same number of games. Both have played seven games so far this year. So Saskatchewan is likely the team they all have to target first, and luckily for them, they have two games against the Riders left, including their next home game, which will be August the 13th on the Brickfield at Commonwealth Stadium. That comes after they resume play on Saturday, August the 6th, a week from this coming Saturday in Vancouver against the BC Lions. BC plays this week in Saskatchewan as well. Riders have lost two in a row to the Toronto Argonauts, and we know their situation. Cody Fajardo's hurting. They've got the COVID bug running through the team, and they've got all sorts of problems with their discipline this year and taking way too many penalties. No Elks game this week, but there will be a full slate of four games beginning on Thursday night. Montreal's in Hamilton. BC's in Saskatchewan on Friday night. Saturday, it's Winnipeg at Calgary. That's the game of the week, as the Calgary Stampeders will get another crack at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Maybe this is the week that the Blue Bombers will finally lose their first game of the year. They sit at 7-0 atop the standings in the Canadian Football League. The final game goes on Sunday. Toronto is home to Ottawa as the Argos look to make it three wins in a row now after their two wins over the Saskatchewan Roughriders. The Elks' next few games, you know, Dave and I were talking about this the other night after the game. We're thinking they actually got a chance in their next four. They could go 3-4, 3 of 4 in their next four games. They're in BC to play the Lions and home to Saskatchewan, and then they have a home and home against the Ottawa Redblacks. So I think this next four games is an opportunity for the Elks to turn it around, but they've got to play better, they got to make fewer mistakes, and they got to play a much more solid football game. They lost on Friday night to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers by a score of 24-10, a game that was closer than the score indicated, but still a loss, 24-10. And as you heard Reed Wilkins and I talking, Chris Jones said post-game that this is not a league where you get a participation trophy, right? You got to win to get any accolades in the Canadian Football League. And the Elks haven't done that at home in an awful long time, back to the 2019 season now. 11 straight losses at home. They'll try to end that streak on the 13th against Saskatchewan. That is also the game where they will put three more names up in the Wall of Honor, which is going to be a great night. Don't forget to get your tickets for that. You can get them at Ticketmaster. You can get all your ticket information at goelks.com. Jim Germany, Joe Holloman, and Ed Jones will all be honored. All three members of the 5-in-a-row championship teams here in Edmonton, and all three will go up on the Elks Wall of Honor. That'll be the 39th, 40th, and 41st players to be put up on the Wall of Honor here in Edmonton, all three members of that 5-in-a-row team. Coming up on the show tonight, we're going to spend some time talking with an old friend of the program. Nate Ajay will join us from Toronto. Nate, of course, a former member of the Edmonton football team, also played for Toronto, now works in the media in Toronto. We'll get him to go over everything he does because very busy media-wise he is, but always has a great take, and we will get his opinion on a few things going on, not just with the Elks, but with the rest of the Canadian Football League as well. The Elks made a trade today, by the way. They acquired Levi Noel, a receiver and special teamer from the Ottawa Redblacks. Noel and a 2023 eighth-round pick come to Edmonton. Going to Ottawa is a seventh-round pick in the 2023 draft. So not much in return they had to give up to get Levi Noel, who missed all of last year due to an injury. But I was looking at his stats today, and I think, oh, that's why they got him, because I'm not sure they need a receiver at this point, because they're, you know, they've got their group together now, and they're going to have Darrell Walker back after the bye week. They're going to get Kyle Loxley back in after the bye week as well. But I was looking at Levy Noel's stats. He's a special teams demon. In 4 years in the Canadian Football League, 78 special teams tackles. He had 27 back in 2017, 20 plus in 2018 as well. Very good special teams player, and the Elks need guys who can tackle right now, because that is definitely one of their weaknesses. We're going to talk with Natea Jay when we come back. This is the Elks This Week on 630 CHED.
Now, more football talk on the Elks This Week. Here's Morley Scott on the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 CHED.
Penalties and discipline are the two things that we've got to address in the next third of the season. And again, those are the things. We had them pinned two times. We took a no yards and a 15 yard after the play penalty, and then the late penalty there in special teams where we ran into the contacting the punter. I mean, it's just inexplicable and uncalled for. And until we can fix those types of things, we're gonna struggle. And we've got to do those things to win tight games. The West is the best division. It's a tough division. Everybody over here, we're at the basement, so we're going to have to claw our way out. Nothing's going to be easy. We're going to have to earn everything we get.
Do you feel you took some steps forward tonight on the positive side?
No, this is not a everybody gets a trophy league, you know. So, I mean, we lost by 14 at home, and, you know, so we've got to find a way to play better football when it matters.
This is not an everybody gets a trophy league. Those are the words from Chris Jones post-game Friday night after the Elks lost to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers by a score of 24-10. To talk about that and all the goings-on in the Canadian Football League over the last month and a half or so in the first third of the season, we welcome in our good friend from Toronto, Natea Ajay. Hey, Natea, how you doing?
Doing great, Marley. Great to hear from you. And I love that line. I'm going to start using that with my kids. This is not a everybody gets a trophy household. I love that line. That's awesome.
It was a great line. He's used variations of that before, talking about, you know, there's no points for consolation victories and stuff like that. He's really, really pushing his team to get over the hump. They've had some issues. We're going to talk about the Elks and your take on them in a moment. But first I want to ask you, today was Monday morning magic at Klondike Days, at K-Days. It's an event that happens the first Monday of every K-Days, and it's for special needs kids, and it's some of the city's dignitaries and athletes take part in it. I know it's the bye week for the Elks, but looking at social media today, there was still an awful lot of players who were still in town taking part in it, which was fantastic to see. I know you have taken part in Monday Morning Magic. Natea, tell me about it from your perspective.
Yeah, I took part in, I believe, four of them, and it was awesome. First of all, we had a lighter schedule kind of that day, and you know, you got an opportunity to spend time with special needs kids, and that was a really cool experience each time I got to do it, because you could just see their face light up when they met us, and you know, we got to ride rides with them, we got to play games with them, interact with them, and it was nothing short of spectacular. I mean, from each guy, I remember doing all this stuff. They had a great time, and I wish we could do it multiple times throughout the season, but that's definitely a special day. I think more special for the players than everybody else. It's you know, the CFL season is obviously a grind, and it's obviously K-Days is not for us, but you know, to get a chance to interact with, you know, people that look up to us and see us, and you know, just that you can see their faces light up, it was truly special. And that's one of the main things I miss about Edmonton. I wish they could have invited me to a K-Day. I would have been there.
Yeah, it is a great event. There's no doubt about that. I think I've been once, I think, to take some pictures and talk to some people, and I didn't see one person having a bad time. It's just smiles everywhere during Monday Morning Magic. And I know it's for some kids who have a lot of issues going on in their life, and for a couple of hours they're allowed to forget them. And I guess that's good for them, and it's good for people to provide that escape for them as well.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we and it gives us some perspective, too, because guys, obviously throughout the season, you're thinking about yourself, you're thinking about what's going on with the team, you're thinking about, you know, things that are you're being affected by. Then you go to a K-Day and you see people are dealing with a lot more than you could ever imagine, and it just brings you back. You're like, this is, you know, we're lucky enough to play a game, and, you know, there's some real world stuff going on that, you know, we don't think about, but, you know, it has a bigger effect on people than we ever could imagine. So let's just, you know, have some perspective and just have some appreciation for what we're able to do day in and day out.
The Elks made a trade today. They made a deal with the Ottawa Redblacks. They gave up a 7th-round pick, and in return they get an 8th-round pick back in 2023, and they also get receiver Levy Noel, who didn't play last year due to injury, hasn't put up a stat yet this year, but I'm going to guess you're a little familiar with him from watching him play. He was with the Argos for 4 seasons, with Ottawa signed as a free agent this year. What do you know about Levy Noel?
Yeah, he's actually a good friend of mine, and, you know, I know he's a great special teams player. This is the kind of guy, but if he's healthy, he gives you 20-plus special teams tackles on a yearly basis. Unbelievable special teams factor. And there was 1 year, I believe it was 2018, where there were some receivers hurt with the Argos, and he stepped in a major role, an offensive role, and he had, I believe, over 50 catches and over 500 yards. So he can help out. Great depth piece on offense as well. And he can step in there. Big body. He goes about 6'3", you know, over 220 pounds. He can definitely hold his own on offense, but definitely a great special teams player. That's what really stands out to me. And I think the Elks got better today.
It just hit me. He's a great tackler. I know. I was looking at his special teams numbers, and he said two seasons, played 4 full seasons. He said 2 seasons where he's been over 20 special teams tackles. Yeah. One, in fact, with 27 back in 2017. He also had 21 special teams tackles in 2018. Chris Jones has talked so much this year about his team needing to tackle better, needing to learn to tackle. They've worked on it a lot in practice, and I guess when you can get a guy who can tackle like that, albeit on special teams, you got to add him to the mix if it doesn't cost you too much, because he is exactly what they need right now, a guy who can tackle a ball carrier.
No, absolutely. And, you know, when I look at the Elks, I see a lot of aggressive, fast, aggressive players, but the missing element is the ability to tackle and to get guys down at the point of attack. And that's what's missing. And even on special teams, a guy like Noel can come in there and give you better field position if he's tackling his guy and doing his job. And, you know, he's just a nightmare guy to kind of block, because he's tall, he's fast, he's strong. So, yeah, I think he fits the Chris Jones model of a player. And, you know, don't be surprised if you see him in as a linebacker or a DN at some point.
I was going to be my next comment. I was just thinking that. It just came to me, knowing Chris Jones is going to turn him into a defensive back or a linebacker or something, because that's just what he does. He's so many. They've had about 3 or 4 receivers play games as a defensive back in this season alone. So it's something that Chris Jones likes to do, and this guy has what it takes. A, he's a good tackler. B, he's got the size, and he's got the athleticism that Chris Jones likes in his defensive players. So maybe when they go back to practice on the weekend or early next week, we shouldn't be surprised if we see him in a green jersey instead of a white jersey when play begins again for the Edmonton Elks. We're talking with Matea Jay here tonight on the Elks This Week. Matea, I was trying to think now. Give me your media holdings right now. You're doing the Argos games, right, with Mike Hogan?
Yeah.
What else are you doing?
Yeah, so right now doing Argos games with Mike Hogan. I'm doing my own personal podcast with Trevor Harris. It's called The Monday Morning Quarterback. It's cool to get his perspective on things going on, especially with quarterbacks and coaches throughout the CFL season. And then I'm doing the Argos podcast as well for the Toronto Argonauts with Mike Hogan, and we get obviously the Toronto perspective of the CFL. So that's been pretty cool. You know me, Morley, I enjoy the media side of things a little bit, probably too much. I remember hanging out with you when the Grey Cup was in Edmonton and really enjoying, you know, everything that you guys were doing. And it was kind of my first taste of the media, and I don't think I've looked back since. So I'm enjoying it, man. And then during the basketball season, I do some stuff with the Raptors too. So it's been pretty fun.
I really feel like a proud papa. when you talk about everything that you've done media-wise, because I know you had done a few things before in Toronto, but you were with us for the Grey Cup back in 2018 and had so much fun working with you and learned so much about the game from you as well. So I'm really happy for you, and I'm glad things fall into place. I've listened to the Monday Morning Quarterback a couple of times with you and Trevor. How did that come about? And I know to get a guy who is currently active in the league to do a podcast like that on a weekly basis, that's pretty rare. How did that come about, and how did you get Trevor to buy into it?
Yeah, you know, you're right, because I was taking a look at the landscape. I'm like, there isn't an active player right now that is, you know, giving people kind of his insights on a weekly basis. And obviously, you know, he's in the league right now, so he's not going to be trashing guys. But it's always cool to get their perspective. But, you know, I reached out to Trevor. I'm like, Trevor, I have this idea for a podcast that I think it would be pretty cool because, you know, right now there's nothing like it in the CFL. And, you know, what do you think? And Trevor and I are really good friends. And I think, you know, when he's done playing, he would like to get into media because he's seen, you know, guys like Tony Romo in the NFL and Troy Aikman and guys like that, and he feels like he has a similar skill set. So he would like to get in media. So I was like, man, this is a way to get reps.
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good. Kellen, did we lose Nate? All right, we're checking. It looks like sounds like we lost Nate Ajay talking about his Monday morning podcast with Trevor Harris, who he does that with. You can check that out wherever you catch all your favorite podcasts. And while we're plugging podcasts, let's plug the CFL, the Football North podcast, a podcast about the Canadian Football League that we do here at Chorus Radio. Jock Wilson, our pal down in Calgary, quarterbacks it for us. I know I'm taping tomorrow's episode with Jock and with Derek Taylor out of Winnipeg, so that'll be dropping on Wednesday, so watch for that. Another podcast we can tell you about too is Antler Up, which I host for the Edmonton Elks. We got an interesting guest coming up this week, which will come out later this week. Chris Edwards, not the Chris Edwards you're thinking about, one you probably don't know much about, but you know his work. There's no doubt about that. He is a producer with the CFL on TSN, and we sat down last week and talked to him about his job, an Edmonton guy, and grew up going to football games in Edmonton. Loves the game, played it in university, played it in high school at Ross Shep, and played it in university as well. So we'll get Chris Edwards' story coming up this week on the podcast for the Elks, Antler Up. So collect them all at your favorite podcatcher. Nate, I was texting with Nate earlier this week, and I said, should I call you on this number or a landline? He goes, this is the only number I have, and it's always going to drop out. And true to form, it dropped out. Welcome back, Nate.
Thank you. I know that we had the Rogers outage a few weeks ago, and I was like, wait, is that happening again? But thankfully, I'm able to come back. But, no, like I was saying, like how the podcast came together with Trevor, I don't know how much of it you heard, but, you know, I pretty much hit him up and told him that, you know, it's a way for him to get easy reps, you know, low-pressure situations, give the fans something that they don't have. And he agreed to it because he wants to get into the media, I think, when he's done playing. And yeah, he thought it was a cool concept, and we're trying to have some fun with it.
Yeah, there's so many podcasts out there. That's one, though, I try to squeeze in when I can, listen to a couple of episodes, and have really enjoyed it. So good work on that one. Okay, Nate, we're at the third mark, pretty much, of the CFL season. I want to get your take on a few things. We've got about 5 minutes to go here on the show tonight. Give me your take on the Edmonton Elks and what you've seen from them at 2-5 so far this year.
Honestly, I've been pleasantly surprised. Coming into the season with all the moving parts, I didn't know who was going to be the starting quarterback because it seemed like all offseason Chris Jones was trying to trade Arbuckle or it wasn't his guy. So I didn't know what was going to happen at that spot. So that was a big question mark. And obviously, you know, Lawler and Walker and you know, Mike Jones and some of the receivers, I thought it had a chance to be a good receiving core, and having James Wallace Jr. at running back, I thought the offense was going to be okay if they figure out the quarterback situation. Defensively, I didn't know what it was going to be. I know Chris Jones is a good defensive coordinator, but it happens when, you know, at second, third, fourth year when he gets a chance to get his guys, his imprint on defense. So big question marks across the board, and that's never good going into the season. So I thought it was going to be another over-under for wins was around 7. I was like, it might go under just because of the question marks. But I've been pleasantly surprised about how this team, no matter what happens in the game, they keep fighting for their coach, for each other. They never gave up. Both of their wins have been come from behind type of wins. So that tells me these guys really like each other. They like their coaches. They like playing for each other. They may be a little undermanned right now in terms of the kind of players that Chris Jones is eventually going to have on this team. But I have been pleasantly surprised at this team. I think, you know, there have been some winnable games here. I look at the Winnipeg game, and it was a good spot for, I thought, for them to win this game. And they were right there. I look at the Saskatchewan game. I think it was game two of the season where they were in that game all the way to the fourth quarter, play them really tough, especially at home. So, you know, I think eventually they're going to get a home win coming up soon. They're playing really hard for four quarters, which is what you want to see. But I've been really pleasantly surprised by this team. And I think the fans can be happy with what these guys are showing, because even if a team isn't winning every game, are they playing hard, right? Are they playing for their coaches? Are they showing fight? And I look at a guy like Kenny Lawler. Every time he catches the ball, he looks like he wants to run through someone. Like, there's no give up in him. And I think fans love that.
All right. One quick question for you. Why is the East so bad? And you got about 15 seconds to tell it to me, Nate.
The East is bad. I don't know. I can't put my finger. It's a long season. They're going to get it figured out. But I think it's just been bad luck in close games this season for the East. But I think it will turn around. I don't think they're as bad as they look on paper.
All right, Nate, I got to have you back later in the season because I got so much stuff I want to talk to you about. We never had time to get to it. Appreciate your time tonight, man. Keep going strong. Thanks for talking to us.
Anytime, Wally. I always have time for you. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for showing me the way.
All right, there you go. Nate Agé from Toronto. We'll get him on the show a little bit later on this season. Our thanks to Nate. Our thanks to studio producer Kellen Kennedy for putting it all together. Don't forget, the Elks will be back on the field a week from Saturday in Vancouver against the BC Lions. The next home game here, August 13th, against Saskatchewan. Get your tickets to Ticketmaster. My name's Morley Scott. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.